If you need to record a podcast remotely, riverside.fm is the place to do it. Alex and I have been making Two Dudes Watch Cartoons remotely across states, pretty much across the continental U.S. for 3 years now. We've tried several things, and this is what works best, honestly.
Zoom turned out terrible. We used a couple other ones that we paid for that turned out terrible.
You're looking at the interface right now. I think I'm doing the screen record correctly.
Riverside has made doing this podcast as easy as possible. Riverside FM.
Head to the link in our bio to get started. That's riverside.fm.
Today.
Today.
Two dudes watch cartoons. Yeah.
Welcome back to Two Dudes Watch Cartoons, the podcast where two dudes, that is us, watch cartoons. My name is Evan.
And my name is Alex. And I got a question for you, Evan, to start off today's podcast. How many times in the car do you normally throw up?
I don't get car sick. I'm pretty good with motion sickness.
That's from the movie. I don't know if you're just answering
I'm
me.
I'm just
stone
answering
cold.
You straight okay. forward and shooting you down.
All right. Well, thanks. So today we're covering what an interesting movie. I'm excited to talk about this with you. I think we're going to have an interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. Today we're covering Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, the movie.
The movie.
Now, the movie. I'm going to talk a little about the YouTube videos because that's obviously the origin. What is that? The creation of yes. Marcel the Shell, the character.
This is early internet days, man. I don't know what I was going to say. Do you have?
I just watched the video and it said 12 years ago it was uploaded.
2011. Yeah.
Sounds right. Okay. Yeah. So YouTube's popular at this point, but like, you know, you're not going to see something of this production value on there at this point. And I think that was what was lost on me when I first saw Marcel the Shell, was that this was, you know, stop motion, like a little thing. Yeah. Like, it's impressive. What I also didn't know is that Jenny Slate, the voice of Marcel the Shell, has always been the voice of Marcel the Shell.
Yep. Jenny Slate, one season cast member of SNL, I believe.
Oof. Why would you lead with that?
I mean, that's it's true.
All right. Yeah. She's a reoccurring character on Bob's Burgers.
John Ralphio's sister.
That's where I think most people would recognize her from, mm-hmm. honestly, is John Ralphio's sister in Parks and Rec. She's the worst.
But she's got a great string of like indie-ish rom-com movies. Obvious Child is a favorite of me and Haley's. There's a couple I'm forgetting, but she's got like some smaller indie rom-coms. That are pretty
very
good.
Recognizable.
One with Charlie Day, I think.
Oh, whoa! Don't tempt me with a good time. Mm-hmm. There's something about I don't know. I assume because she now is a bit more of a celebrity that when this movie got released in 2021, that she was just being cast because she could do the voice really well. But no, that's not the case at all. Dean, who is the director and like the. He's a star in the movie. He created Marcel the Shell with Jenny Slate, who was his wife at the time. Mm-hmm. And Evan, I think something that adds such an interesting layer to this movie is when they started the movie, they were married. And when they finished the movie, they were divorced.
Well, yeah, they're separated the whole time, though. That's why Dean's in the house.
Well, I get that, but they're just like, what a true
life. Oh, you
life
mean in real life?
No, sorry. Yes, in real life, Jenny and Dean are married, were married when the movie started production and when they obviously made Marcel the Shell. Uh-huh. But by the time the movie is finished and released in 2021, they are divorced. Wow. That is my fun fact for the episode. Damn. It adds such a weird layer to the movie of this extremely personable note.
Because I believe they started working on the movie in 2018, or that's when they like wrapped up.
I think that's when they wrapped up.
Like their
they got divorced
recordings.
In 2016.
Oh, yeah.
They've been working on this movie for a long time.
Weird.
I was look at this. We're not even 5 minutes in, and I was like so excited. I needed to tell you this little bit of information that I learned.
Yeah, I have to just pause for just a moment. So we're using this new recording thing, and it's giving me a warning that my app is not focused. Do I look blurry to you?
Not at all to me. You look great, if I'm being honest. All right, you don't look blurry in the slightest.
All right. Okay. I'm gonna ignore it then. But
I think
fine. If I look blurry to you,
I'll leave a comment
on our YouTube hashtag blur. Where were you? Yeah. 2011. She's been the voice of Marcel the Shell since then. 2011 early, I guess not even early internet days, but it's like still the golden age of YouTube before it became this monstrosity, social media before it became the monstrosity that we know it as today. I'm thinking back to that era. I'm like Charlie the Unicorn, was that one? Do you remember that shit? 100,
yeah. Oh yeah. Charlie the Unicorn. I thought you were actually going to say Charlie Bit My Finger.
That too.
I think that's like one of the most popular of all time. But what I love about this is when the project was first presented to me, I assumed like it was not the original company, original people that were putting on this movie, but it 1,000% is all the same people.
Yeah.
That made it and were in charge of it.
You thought it got bought up by like Disney?
I thought it got commercialized. I did. I won't lie.
Yeah,
I did.
It is, I guess it would be pretty surprising. I don't know that anyone was really demanding, like, let's reboot Marcel the Shell.
No, but in the recent string of purchases of like intellectual property, like there's like 41 Hasbro toys that are getting their own movies. Like, that's not surprising that someone maybe bought the rights to Marcel the Shell. But what I did not know was this is like, ground up. It's a success story, in my opinion. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Someone put a video on YouTube and they got a movie out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Fred. And remember that guy?
Fred.
The annoying teen who like high pitched his voice. And you know, never mind. No. If you don't know, you don't know. Oof.
Sorry. It's okay. You'll have to text me the YouTube link later.
you don't want to see any of Fred. It's annoying.
This is one of the reasons we're covering it, though, is because this is an independent movie. It was distributed by A24, which is notably not a part of the AMPTP. So it is not a struck company. And I think throughout the course of the strike, I think they have gotten a couple of interim agreements signed, which are agreements that allow them to move forward with production with SAG-AFTRA as long as they abide by the demands of SAG-AFTRA. And people, there's a little bit of debate on whether like that should be frowned upon, like whether SAG-AFTRA, the union, like some members, I think, disagree with that they're letting some productions proceed with these interim agreements. But overall, it does show that movies can be made per the demands of the union, that it is not out of the question. Granted, this movie came out prior to all of that, but just to say, A24 is sort of going about this the right way and is an advocate of SAG, the union.
Yeah. So not to segue, because that's a super important point. I just, you covered it all. I don't have anything else to add. Great job. This movie was up for an Academy Award, Oscar, mm-hmm. Best Animated Picture. Now, I had not seen the film, so at the time I was like, oh, this is barely animated. And I fully have, I'm going to retract that live on air here. But this lost to another film we covered, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio.
Yeah.
And so by the end of this, I want to hear what your vote is for, because this is a tough call mm-hmm. between the two movies. They're both phenomenal. So I'm excited. We'll get into it. We'll get into the nitty gritty here. But so why don't you give us do you have like the summary up?
I don't, but
you son of a bitch.
While I pull that up, I believe it's at a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
It is. It's very critically acclaimed.
Yeah.
This is what the critics said. I got it on Wikipedia right here. With an average Rotten Tomatoes of 98%, 192 reviews positive, poignant, profound, and utterly heartwarming. Marcel the Shell with Shoes On is animated entertainment with real heart. Only reason I wanted to read that is because they just did 90% of my job there. What an amazing summation of like how I feel about this joyous monument of a movie.
Yeah.
Read us the summary. Do you have it up now?
Yes. Marcel is an adorable 1-inch tall shell who ekes out a colorful existence with his grandmother Connie and their pet Lint Allen. Once part of a sprawling community of shells, they now live alone as the sole survivors of a mysterious tragedy. But when a documentary filmmaker discovers them amongst the clutter of his Airbnb, the short film he posts online brings Marcel millions of passionate fans. This is getting along. As well as unprecedented dangers and a new hope at finding his long-lost family.
That was long.
So this movie, interestingly, I saw on the Wikipedia, is meant to serve as sort of a prequel and a sequel to the original web videos.
You beat me to it, because it kind of it incorporates the success of the YouTube videos, adding a meta layer of realism that like was just mind bursting in my opinion, because I have seen the videos mm-hmm. and they showed the videos on there, and I was like, oh my god, like they're showing them, and they show people like responding and acting to them. I'm like, those are real YouTube videos of people back in the day doing the Marcel the Shell voice.
Yeah.
And so like it was trippy in that way, but like it really added to one of which I think when done correctly is maybe my favorite style of some of these things, the mockumentary.
Mm. Yes, absolutely. Second animated mockumentary we've gotten.
Do you remember the first?
Yeah, Surf's Up, baby.
Dude,
another phenomenal film.
I was going to bring it up. Because of the mockumentary elements they added to it, it added so much to the movie. I'm so glad you said that, because I put these two in the same category of like, that adds such a great level of, I don't even know, like some humorous moments. So when Marcel's candle goes out and Dean is like, come on, I'm not supposed to be here. Like, I want to watch you do it. Yeah, but you could help me. Like, it would be so much easier. And it takes me a really long time. And it's like that scene is brilliant. Having to actually write out like casual conversation like that has to be so much harder than probably like just doing it, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was going to try and put you in the hot seat and get your best Marcel, but you jumped right in.
Failed
into
miserably.
No, yeah. It was phenomenal.
It's so iconic. I really wish I could do it, because some of the lines like don't hit the same when said in a real voice.
Not at all. Where were we going?
Where do you want to go? What do you like about this movie? Tell me.
Oh, man, why did I want to talk about this movie?
Yeah, it's been a while. You've been pestering me, and I was annoying. And now I'm here, and I'm gushing, and you're shit in the bed.
No, it was – I think at the time this came out, wide release at least, June 2022. So that was summer last year. I think that winter my grandmother had passed away. And like so this hit me like with a gut punch out of nowhere, but it's like, it's like sad. I mean, but overwhelmingly optimistic, heartwarming. Mm-hmm. And it explores that relationship between Marcel and his grandmother so beautifully, so tragically. And I think it's just a factor of me getting older. Like these things that are about familial relationships, just really just make you like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. They make me a couple. And so you mentioned it already, but so my grandma actually passed away in August of 2022.
Oh.
And I actually think if I had watched this around that time, I wouldn't have been okay. Because I had a very strong emotional reaction to it last night when I watched it. Everything that I've been watching, like you said, about these familial bonds, now that I have lost my last grandparent, has just hit so much differently and so much more profoundly that Nana Connie, and the worst part was I kept leaning over to Nikki and I was like, she's not getting better. I was like, I was like, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
I was like, I know, I can see the signs. She's got a Band-Aid on her shell now.
Yeah.
I was like, ah. And then even when it happened, I'm sobbing and I'm going, I knew it. I knew it was going to happen. God damn. So Marcel is in this Airbnb with Nana Connie. And as everyone knows, this is a direct quote from Marcel. It takes at least 20 shells to have a community. And they lost their community when the previous couple they were staying with up and left out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
And while they were watching 60 Minutes, which there's a whole bit in there about like Leslie Stahl. And I was like, this was probably amazing before she interviewed Marjorie Greene Taylor and now is like publicly shamed by a lot of journalists. So, but I love just like their love of 60 Minutes. And she was like, man, Connie, do the thing. There's so many small, just like wonderfully charming moments in this movie that we're not going to be able to wrap in, you know, our time limit here.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish I could just like regurgitate all of the amazing lines to you. I do have some that I want to go over, but
go for it.
These are not from the movie. I actually have ones that I've pulled from the YouTube series. So
that is, I mean, again, this movie is the epitome of slice of life. Like you watch Marcel go about navigating this Airbnb, but there isn't a whole lot of plot to it. It is mockumentary, which I wonder. Marcel started in 2011. I feel like that was the heyday of the mockumentary format.
The Office hype.
The Office, well, Parks and Rec was
the Parks and Rec is banging. It's good though. Like I feel like people now are almost tired of it, but it is such a classic format and it adds a nice layer of realism to something that obviously like this is such a human story, but it's about a fucking shell. You know what I mean?
And that's what the point I was trying to get to is I think it is nice that that the mockumentary format like rapidly rose, hit its peak. People got tired of it. 10 years later, like in these small little bursts, we get Marcel the Shell, you know, the movie, Abbott Elementary is doing phenomenally well. I like, you know, just sparse little bits of it here and there.
It doesn't need to be everything, but some things it's appropriate for.
Looking at the box office, though, the stats on Wikipedia, runtime 90 minutes. Awesome. Love that.
Love it. I saw that instantly. Check.
Box office, $7 million in this poor movie. But
you know what? That is a little bit of a bummer because I watched a behind the scenes of how they did this and it took so much goddamn work. It took an unreal amount of work to make this possible and happen. And it's almost, I don't want to say more hard, but it adds more work. The fact that some of it is real life and some of it is animated. You know what I mean? And so the behind the scenes gave me a level of appreciation that I didn't even have before that went into all the work for this. So let me tell you just kind of a summation of what I saw. First, they obviously write it. And then they wrote it in bits. and they would go to where they are going to eventually shoot, and they would film the sound first, which is the most backwards way to do something like this, they said. But at the time, it just made sense to them, and they were very happy they did it, but they were like, everyone would have recommended against that. Like, it makes no sense. Uh-huh. But so they did all the sound first, and then they did a drawn storyboard of what it was going, like, how it was going to look and play out. And then they went to the house, and they filmed everything that, like, everything without the animation. Mm-hmm. So they would like zoom in and they'd play the sound over, and it was like, okay. And then they had to go to a studio and do all the stop motion animation and film that. And they have to get all the same camera angles to make it look exactly the same of the dimensions. Mm-hmm. And they had one person whose whole job was to, when they're doing scenes at the house, map the lighting. So all the shade in the studio when they're shooting Marcel later is exactly the same. I was like, that's one person's job. Imagine if your job every day showing up to set was be like, okay, there's a light coming this way, this way, this way. You got to map it all out for later.
One of the things with the voiceover work that I admire in this movie, and it's something that I believe they did in Fantastic Mr. Fox as well, is they didn't have actors in the booths. Like you said, they had actors on location, and specifically they put like lavalier mics on the actors, and they had them wear headbands.
Like a sweatband. Yeah. Headband mic. To it.
And so you get this sort of really naturalistic vibe to all the dialogue. Doesn't feel separated like a lot of voiceover work can.
And it sounds very, yes, it sounds very real in the sense that, like it, there's stutters, there's stammers, there's uhs, there's ums. And like you said, it's not dissected at all. Like it's just a natural flow of how someone speaks, and mm-hmm. you can really hear it. It's something I actually commend Bob's Burgers on a lot, is I'm like, man, this is how people talk. You know what I mean?
I retract what I said earlier about this being like a sad film, because it really isn't. It is
uplifting. There's uplifting, sad moment, heartwarming. Though.
There's some, there's a sad moment. But you see Marcel and he explains. Nana Connie. It's them in this Airbnb alone. We learn that the rest of their community has been taken away.
There's like a lot of these shells though, and they normally don't come out for people. But Marcel's, you know, a little different. And a little alone. I think this is such a small detail, but it's in the YouTube video and in the movie. Marcel introduces himself by going, my name is Marcel. That's not the first time that's happened before. Like, what? It's at its core, like, it was just, this is comedy. Like, it's so subtle, casual comedy. And it's just every line that Jenny says has some bit element of like comedy in it, whether it's like overt or like subtle. Mm-hmm. It's so brilliant. And I just think it's a great introduction to like what you're going to get into, the quirkiness, the comedy, and just like the way that Marcel talks. It's brilliant. I think it's great.
Yeah. Such a drastic departure from, not even departure because it precedes, but like what internet comedy, I don't know how you would encapsulate internet comedy now, but it's like TikTok, short attention span. Like this movie is, you could throw on in the background and it's just like sort of background noise because it is such a vibe. Like
it is so comforting though. Like everything they said, I was like, aw. Or the scene would end and I'd go, aw. You know what I mean? Like it was amazing. Like, I don't know if have you ever played the video game Pikmin? For some reason, it gives me that vibe because they're so tiny and they're running around like the big world. It's just, it's charming. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a Miyazaki film, like come to life. You know what I mean? Cause it really looks very real. And so I think it's really funny. What they said is the first Marcel was an actual shell, a googly eye, and two Polly Pocket shoes that they cut off.
Yeah. What is Marcel a snail or just
a mollusk?
A mollusk. Okay. I was looking at the voice cast. Did you, I don't know if you've looked at them at all beyond Jenny Slate and Anna Connie.
Oh, I did. I did. Okay. I don't know why he's so high up there, because he's got like two lines. But our boy Nathan Fielder snuck his way into the movie, plays Marcel's brother. Uh-huh. And at the very end, when they do finally reunite, he's trying the honey feet on the walls. And he's sliding down. And Marcel's like, oh, but you're kind of, you gotta walk. He goes, no, this is how I want to do it. It sounded just like him. I literally was like, is that? I was like, I think that's Nathan Fielder. And it was. I was so happy I recognized it, though, because I love Nathan.
Yeah. I don't know that I would have caught that in the theater, but.
No, I think it's funny. And then the Nana Connie is someone famous. Isabella
Rossellini.
Yes. And so old movie star. And so Jenny Slate, in the behind the scenes thing I watched, said she came on set, and obviously they're doing like the headband mics. They're just sitting in like the garden when they're doing a dark garden scene. And Jenny said she didn't like look down on it or like think it was silly or whatever. She like really got into it, really asked a lot of questions about the world and the snake, like the things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I love that. Everyone that like came across, like some of the people that were like set designers talking about like them building the shells, uh-huh. like some of them started tearing up talking about it. I was just like, I love the passion and the love that went into this and the care. And like, it's the same thing I feel like we praised about Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, though, is like, they were like, we want this to have a little bit of feel of like homemade. Like,
oh yeah, absolutely.
It is. And I was like, oh, they were like, we put a lot of work into making it look now like it's homemade. And I was like, that's so funny. But I think it really worked. And I think it pays off because it's just part of like the charm and like the vibe of it all. I don't know what other word to use for it.
Yeah, it is the antithesis to this sort of pixel perfect CGI that you get in a Disney Pixar thing.
So true.
I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it is one of the things that I really liked about the new Ninja Turtles movie.
No, I haven't seen
Weird
it.
Weird plug, not really a plug, but it's sort of taking a note from Spider-Verse, from Puss in Boots, in that the way it's animated, there is like the style is, there are imperfections and things look sketched, things hand look drawn. Imperfect, yeah. Hand drawn. And all that just makes everything feel more human, in my opinion. Mm.
No, I totally agree. And I think that is, I think that's part of what makes this great. And so I do want to, the one quote from the movie that I just thought was like so beautiful, I don't even know how to put it. So it's like the day after Marcel loses the rest of the community, and it's just him and Nana Connie, and Marcel's really upset. And he says, it was a warm, beautiful, sunny day. I remember sitting outside, there was a slight breeze. And I just remember thinking, if I was somebody else, I would love this. And that hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know what it was. I was like, that's so beautiful, because like just sitting there enjoying the beauty and the love of the moment, but also being so sad and upset. You're just like, yeah, I can't enjoy this, but I guarantee someone else would.
Peak Tumblr.
Yeah.
Also very Evan 2011.
I texted that to Evan. He goes, there's so many lines that you can put on Tumblr from this movie. And I totally agree. And watching the old YouTube videos, it really did feel almost like sometimes like a Tumblr cartoon just playing out in like three, you know, it's like set up Dean asking a question and then punchline. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's so funny. Like,
hey man, Tumblr was a vibe. I think it had a little bit of a resurgence. I don't know. It's still, yeah,
but it didn't
around.
Make it anything any wide resurgence by no means.
Yeah.
Evan and I are wannabe movie critics. We're also wannabe chefs.
We're all doing more cooking at home now. If you want to elevate your home cooking, you need nice tools to do it. Louis Kitchenware will get you there. They have beautiful stainless steel pans, nonstick bakeware, knives, all the stuff you need. Safe, high quality materials, constructed to last, made in the United States, founded in Detroit.
Moving into my condo, we got hand-me-downs. So this new Louis Kitchenware
has been great, and we love the discount. We want to share that with our listeners.
You can use code 2DUDES, that's T-W-O DUDES, at LouisKitchenware.com, and that'll give you 10% off anything on the site.
Check out our link in bio.
I mean, the heart of this movie is Nana Connie and Purcell. But
let's talk about Nana Connie then.
It's just that, I mean, it's what you talked about with the actress, Isabella Rossellini, not looking down on the material. It's that sense of warmth. It's that sense of comfort. It's those, there's this one really poignant thing. You could almost miss it if you're not paying super close attention, but Dean's talking, I think Dean's talking to Marcel about like doing the 60 minutes interview or whatever. And, Marcel saying only if you're like feeling better, cause this is shortly after her injury. Mm-hmm. And, Nana Connie goes, yep, never better. And then like zooms in on her, her smile fades. And it's just like flat mouth for a little bit. Like the Nana Connie gets injured in the course of the movie. It's important to establish Nana Connie fell off the washer or the dryer and has a hole in her shell. And so she's moving around a little bit slow. And
just not eating as much.
And yeah, not eating as much. Like just the care between Marcel, like going both ways, between Marcel and the great lengths he goes to take care of Nana Connie and vice versa, more emotionally than anything. I don't know. I could, it's just like it's like a security, like one of those weighted blankets. You could throw it on.
Fully embraces you. I just want
to like sit in that feeling. Like that's what this movie is to me.
Yeah. Their relationship is the core of it. And, it is strengthened by their sense of loss that the two of them have had. They had a whole community and now it's just the two of them. So I totally agree. You feel it throughout the whole movie. The care, he wakes Nana Connie up every morning. He gets her out of bed and you just feel the love in every action that goes on. And so, but on the video I was watching earlier, Jenny said Nana Connie is like an amalgamation of both of Dean's grandmother and Jenny's grandmother. They really put, you know, the grandmother figures. And they said Nana Connie is like a super important character to them. So I think those things that you're feeling and the things you're picking up on, I all think it's like super intentional from them, which just makes it such a strong movie that if you're just going into it blind, you could be like, oh, this will be cute. But like, it is like such an emotional, not emotional in the sense like last week we covered something that was just flat, sad, melancholy. This had like such moments of comfort, like relaxation, worry, caring for others, like it covered every human emotion on the spectrum just following Marcel's daily life.
Yeah. If you've ever had
a bad day, a good day,
interactions with an elderly relative or parent or grandparent, like all of that whole experience is communicated through these little fucking mollusk shells.
So are you ready for this?
Yeah.
So they did a bunch of children's books and this is just before the movie. And this makes me think, I see it so clearly, like an Arthur type show of Marcel the Shell.
I think that would be great.
I see it very
clearly.
I
don't see it happening with them being divorced now, but
PBS, Dean and Jenny, call me. We'll talk. I got ideas.
Yeah. Was Nana Connie in the original web series videos or
no? I'm pretty sure it's just Marcel, and then the dog is also in it. It really made me wonder if it's the same
Arthur dog, the dog, or Alan the pet Lint.
Both.
Both. Okay. True.
Both. Yes. Both make it into both. Both make it into both. What was really funny, I think maybe one of my absolute favorite scenes is Nana Connie's hurt and the dog's playing a little too rough. And so Marcel's like, this dog has to go. We got to get rid. I'm sorry. I like Alan, but like, if he's going to keep doing that, like it's so, and then he's in the dog's in the cage and Marcel goes, what'd he do? He goes, well, he's just, yeah. He goes, what's he in for? That was perfect. He goes, what's he in for? And then he goes, is he going to jail? No, he's just going to my wife's house. Oh, such like a sigh of relief. Like, you could tell Marcel has a little bit of guilt. Like, oh, did I get the dog locked up? Going to jail now for what I said?
This reminds me of a newer comic strip or series that I actually really hate called Strange Planet.
Why would you compare it to something you hate?
I'm drawing similarities, but Strange Planet, it was a web comic or web strip on Twitter. It was pretty popular, like little blue aliens, and they would just observe human life and they would like phrase things in a different way. It's by Nathan Pyle, and there's a new animated series coming to Apple TV Plus. I think Dan Harmon is involved with it.
It sounds just like Dan Harmon's
but
alley.
The thing I hate about that this strip is that now. It is just the Parks and Rec Chicky Chicky Parm Parm segment over and over and over and over and over. Oh, this is a hamburger, but I call it a bread meat folder. It's so fucking monotonous and stupid. But all that to say, I think Marcel is like the exact opposite end of that spectrum. It's like looking at the human world in a different perspective, articulating it in different ways that are like a little more profound and entertaining and funny than I find any of the Strange Planet shit to be.
Okay, I get you. I see the comparison now, at least. Let me tell you this. We've got an old quote here.
Yeah.
Guess what I do for adventure?
I'm not great with quotes.
You just have to say what.
What? Sorry.
I'm sorry. I thought that'd be easy. So guess what I do for an adventure? Then Dean goes, what? I hang glide on a Dorito. And like, it's just like small things. Like I love Marcel literally because he's tiny. And one thing I noted when you were reading the description online from whatever website it was, the summary, Marcel is an adorable, that was like the word that you, and I was like, yeah, he is tiny and adorable. I love Marcel.
That quote though, I think that's some of the appeal. It's like talking or listening to like a 5-year-old or a 4-year-old, extremely articulate, but like, they're just so jazzed about everything.
They're just so glad to be telling someone about every aspect of their life. Mm-hmm. And they're going to say some off the wall shit every once in a while.
My favorite line is Marcel goes talking about Nana Connie. She's not from here. She's from the garage. That's why she has that accent.
It's perfect. No, it's good. And we need that though. And it's just tiny. That's why she has that accent. It adds such a great,
The actress is Italian. I'm pretty sure, so she has a bit of an accent, but it's just from the garage.
Oh, that is so funny. I love everything about it. But so Marcel and the dog, they have like a bit of a relationship in one of the other ones, and Marcel's like, all he cares about is treats and snoozing. Look at him, treats and snoozing and treats. That's it. And it's just like, it's like you said, it's like looking at the human experience through an alien's eyes or someone who has not been like Marcel riding in the car keeps throwing up. Oh my, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I don't know what, because it's the first time Marcel's ever been in a car, instant motion sickness. Mm-hmm. And the throw up's like so tiny that Dean's just like laughing every time it happens. He's like, no, really? It's okay. It's fine.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I must admit, I did classic Evan move, fell asleep during this rewatch. I was pretty tired. I got terrible sleep the night before.
I'm not gonna lie.
No problem of this movie.
I understand it happens, but like, why are you always admitting it to us in the what the hell?
I'm saying that's how comforting this movie is. It is. It will lull you into sleep. It's so heartwarming.
Evan threw on his weighted blanket and he never looked back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, plot wise. You meet Marcel, you learn about the backstory, and then it's like setting. He goes viral.
Yeah, that's probably one plot point. People start dancing outside Marcel's house, like, it's Marcel the Shell's house. And Marcel's always like, are they coming to help? And Dean's like, I don't think so. In that 2-line exchange, what a great commentary on like humanity. Like, that's what I'm saying. Am I right? Like, Marcel's like, oh, they must be coming to help if they are here. Like, what else would they be doing? And Dean is like, no. Just like when Dean tries to talk Marcel out of Marcel to find the teal car is like, we'll just go to the highest point. Like, what's your mantle? Like, when I need a real good clear view of the rug, I go to the mantle. And so Dean's like, yeah, I don't think it will work like that. And Marcel's like, no, trust me. Trust me. So they go to the highest point and Marcel's like looking out. Oh, actually, I don't want to gloss over this scene because I actually think it's like very important. Mm-hmm. So when they do get to the top of the mountain, Marcel is pretty overwhelmed with how large everything is. And he's like, those are all houses down there, just like the one you live in. And Marcel's like, oh my God, like my home is ginormous to me. And then Marcel is like, so is that it for everything out there? And he's like, no, this is just one city. Like there's lots of cities you see on TV. And Marcel's just like, like, just the realization of like how, like, you know, that's like when you look up into space and you're like, man, those things are millions of light years away. That was Marcel's first like looking into space moment. Like, wow, this universe is fucking ginormous and I'm just a small, tiny little thing in it.
So the quest is twofold, right? It's to get the 60 minutes interview.
Well, that kind of comes about from their quest. Mm. You know, someone at 60 Minutes hears that he's looking for his family. And so they're like, let's do an interview on this.
Yeah.
But the quest is always Marcel wants to find the Shell community that he and Nana Connie got left behind from.
So they secure the interview, which Marcel puts up a stink about because Nana Connie has recently been injured. But then they eventually do it. And just the simultaneous, the 1-2 punch of the high of the 60-minute interview. It's everything.
The Nana Connie.
The Nana Connie passes the next day over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what really comes there from the poignant thing is Marcel is very scared to do the interview. And at first, Marcel was blaming it on Nana Connie's health. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want more people in the house because she's not well. Totally valid. But Marcel was kind of using that because then once she dispels that, like, no, do it. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. He goes, what if everything changes? And Nana says, it will. I know. It's so good. It's so good. I was just like, damn. It was like, no, yes, I know you're scared of the change, but like, that's also why we're doing this. You want to find them. It's really, they say a lot with a little amount of words several times in this movie. And I really appreciate that. Oh, it's so good.
I mean, that's pretty much the, not the exact end of the movie, but that's the climax of the movie essentially is Anna Connie passes.
And then Dean and Marcel build like a little grave for her and they put the queen chess piece there, which I thought was so cute. And they did it in the garden because that was her garden that she loved. I was crying. I was sobbing. Yeah. And then they get a call. 60 Minutes is like, I don't want to make any promises, but things are moving. Like, can we get you again for another interview? And we're watching the interview. And I'm not going to lie. I think they nailed this. We just see Marcel watching the 60 Minutes
classic
interview.
Classic twist.
And it's going and it's about the quest for his family. And then it cuts to, they're like, we have a lead, and they go looking for it. And of course, once the two start fighting, everyone gathers in the sock drawer and Marcel's like, I know where they will be.
and they were all in the sock drawer. Pan out, and Marcel's watching the interview with all of the Shell community. Yeah. And it's so heartwarming. And there was part of me that thought the movie was going to end there. And thank fucking God it did. Because this was the best part. When they all come back and they're ice skating and they're partying and they're jumping on the couch and they're doing whatever. Oh, oh, and there's so many of them and they look all different. And they're, I love it. It's so touching. But it is sad Nana Connie didn't get to see it again. But Marcel gathers everyone at the grave and sings like a beautiful song. It was what a say magnifique. Like, I don't know, like the emotions going through me watching this joyous, but also this somber scene of like, you know, I'm missing Aunt Connie, but like Marcel did it. It's great.
This movie also gives me the same comfort as something like The Farewell. If you've seen it, that's another.
I have not.
I'd recommend. No. That's my recommendation. If you love this movie, if you have a grandparent you love or have loved in the past, watch this movie.
Check that out.
Check out The Farewell. I was going to ask, do you have a favorite, like Marcel MacGyver contraption or adaptation?
I did love, obviously, like just slingshotting anything or using like a spoon, like jumping on a spoon to slingshot something. That's always like a classic one. But man, and it's probably basic, but it's because I think it's the first one we see. But watching Marcel set up the orange, shaking the orange tree to get the stuff from it, that was really great because then at the end you loop back to it and he doesn't need to do that anymore because with all the shells, they just jump up and down and they can do it as a team. Mm-hmm. And so I think that one was probably one of my favorites because it was like, oh, he's not alone anymore.
And then cut to, and then, but we've kept some of the things the same. And there's a bunch of tennis balls.
There's a bunch of tennis balls. Tennis ball is so great because I like, Who doesn't want to like run around in a hamster ball? Uh-huh. Only downside to the tennis ball is you're blind when you're in it. That was such a fun, however they did that, those sequences when it's just Marcel like running around in the tennis ball.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah. In the cast list, the couple, the human couple that we see, I don't know. I feel like I've seen the girl in some places. Her name's Rosa Salazar. But the guy is in another one of my favorite movies, Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl. Highly recommend.
It's Thomas. It's the guy
from
Project X.
I don't know that I've seen Project X. Not very 2011 of me.
Yeah, what the hell, dude? Project X is such a, I don't even know. Like, it's not like, I don't want to sit here and be like, it's a great movie, but like,
it was a fun movie.
Yeah, it was so of the time. Miles Teller plays like a douchey version of himself in it.
Bonus episode, maybe someday.
Maybe, yeah, that fits the theme. Just on par. Okay, I got one last quote, and then let's get into maybe closing thoughts here, and then we can wrap up with some Letterboxd reviews, okay?
Yeah.
Hot box reviews. Now, you have to play the part of Dean correctly this time, though.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to try to do the voice again. Guess why I smile a lot?
I think you need to go more back of your throat. You're going too forward.
I've heard that before, and I don't know what that means. Oh, guess why I smile a lot. I'm like Lumpy Princess from Adventure Time. All right, I'm just going to read it in normal voice. Guess why I smile a lot.
Why?
Because it's worth it. What a beautiful quote, though. Don't be laughing here because of my voice. No, I didn't mean for my voice to detract from how this poignant it is. I think Marcel's 100% right. It's always worth it to smile.
Yeah, that's the takeaway.
Yeah. Evan's like, I have nothing else to nothing else to add. All right, here's just another quirky one. So Marcel's like, sometimes when I get stressed, my shell feels tight, but I find ways of unwinding. And then it just cuts to a scene of Marcel like digging himself deeper into the soil. And then once fully submerged, just goes, like sighs of relief. I was like, I fucking love this. Like, yeah, that's what I want to do when I want to unwind. Or like when Dean offers Marcel the tissue and Marcel is like, do you mind if I just jump right in there? He's like, no, go ahead.
Yeah, it's honestly, it is a marvel that the Marcel bit, because I'm sure that's how this started, was just Jenny Slate doing that voice. It doesn't get old over the course of 90 minutes.
It doesn't get tiring, like, at all, if I'm being honest. It's very endearing. So they said how it started, an origin story. They were overseas at a wedding, back when they were married, probably, or dating. And they were sharing a room with, like, two other couples, though. Uh-huh. And so it was very cramped and, like, not much space. And so she started doing the voice to, you know, represent, like, she was tiny, cramped in space. And then when they went home, he had, like, some video project that he needed to finish for someone, like a comedy thing. And it just, they like, were like, oh, what if you did that voice for this?
Classic.
Classic. Reminds me of the good old days, putting sketches together, good old comedy.
Randomly, further down the cast list, the voice of the maestro. I don't know who that character is, but. Oh, it's one of the community members, is voiced by Peter Boners with a Z.
Are you trying to Ralph Boner me right now? What's going on?
It's an unfortunate name.
You think if you're in acting, you'd change it.
What if you changed it to Boners?
Yeah. That is his stage name.
Andy Richter plays Marcel's dad, Mario.
Oh, I love that Marcel got his parents back. And you know what was actually the cutest moment with his, like, his mom was pretty cute, was his aunt being like, get your little butt out here, ice skate with us. Oh, yeah. I was like, oh.
The ice skating scene at the end is awesome. That might be one of my favorite, like, Marcel-isms. In the beginning, he has a little upturned pill bottle that's like his cabinet. It's like the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday thing, but each of them is like a cabinet. And then Nana Connie had this really badass spiral staircase made out of, like, clothespins. That looked so cool.
That was cool. I loved when Marcel went into the little hole in the wall and Dean's like, is that my inhaler? And he goes, Marcel goes over and he goes, oh, it's like, it's a slide.
It's a slide. Like,
it's a, what? That was so great.
Let's look at some Letterboxd reviews.
Yeah. You want to do closing thoughts first, or what's the order here? I don't even know.
Let's read a couple closing thoughts and then give our scores.
This one's 5 stars. It says, are you fucking kidding me? And I feel the same way. I was really sideswiped by how just miraculous this really was.
Mm-hmm. This reviewer, Megan, writes 4 stars. Marcel is, and I cannot stress this enough, just a little guy.
Real important review. We missed the funniest joke in the movie, and so luckily this review will make up for it. 5 stars. When the kush hits hard. Nana Connie reading the meme. When the kush, what is kush? And Marcel and Dean are hysterically laughing. That is the joke of the movie. 5 out of 5 stars.
You've got a better Nana Connie than you do a Marcel. That's pretty good.
Hire me.
Yeah, glowing reviews. I think Letterboxd
is 4 stars. 4 stars. The kind of movie Nicole Kidman is talking about.
True. 98% are on Tomatoes. This is 4.2 on Letterboxd.
Mm.
Where does it land for you?
Whale Jet Ski. Could his name be Whale Jet Ski? It's so good. I think you really nailed it with, like, interviewing, like, a 5-year-old about, like, their life and what they do. I once you said that, it, like, really all sunk into place, like, why it is so hilarious for me. I think I might be a broken record. I'm going 5 out of 5 stars.
It's a 5 out of 5, folks.
I thought this was so fucking good. I enjoyed all 90 minutes of it.
Yeah. And it feels full.
Yes.
It doesn't feel like it's lacking, missing anything.
Not grating, like you said.
90 minutes. Robust.
We're so pro the 90-minute movie, it's not even funny.
Nothing really happens in this movie, yet so much happens in this movie. It's a 5 stars for me. I recommend watching it if you haven't seen it. You can find it on Paramount Plus at the moment, I believe. Yeah. Or if you have like a Showtime thing with other streamers.
Yes. You know what? This is a good segue actually into our closing thoughts, I feel like. So, well, I feel like I did just say a lot of my closing thoughts. I think that this is when I go to look about a movie that we're covering, I usually look for like insightful, impactful, well-designed, great story. This was just beautiful. This was like what I imagine people get out of when they hear opera music or something. This was art at its highest form that started at the YouTube level. And so I just have such a great appreciation for that, that sort of success story of it all. And I genuinely considered watching it again today before we podcasted about it. And I think I wouldn't have had any issue watching it like within a span of 12 hours from each other.
This came out 2022. Been watching a lot more movies this year, but for a long stretch of time, I want to say for a lot of the last 10 years, my primary movie going experience has been MCU superhero, big summer blockbuster stuff. And while that's fun, and as a fan, it's like you don't get these very human, very joyous, very melancholy or sorrowful moments. You don't get these kinds of movie going experiences often. And this is, like you said, what Nicole Kidman is talking about. Like, this is why it's the magic of movie making. This one is so fun. I'm glad Marcel got to see another day in the sun 10 years later.
This is the sort of reboot I want to see. Yeah. If everything has to be a reboot now, take something that was like beloved but tiny and make it big.
All right, you are an exec at A24. Let's not put this evil on them. You're an exec at another major corporation, maybe Mattel.
Yeah.
Now Hasbro.
Yeah.
And you've been tasked with scouring the early aughts internet for another viral sensation to bring to the silver screen. What are you going with?
That's a good question. Let me think for a moment. Do you have something off the top of your head? I could use a moment to think if you did.
The A24 answer, I think, would be salad fingers.
Oh my gosh.
I don't remember much about salad fingers.
I remember it being scary as shit. Okay, I got like such a weird one. I don't even know I have a full memory of it. Do you remember Strong Bad? And like
that's the one.
I think that's what you need to revitalize. Like that. I have such a fever dream of all those characters that like
what
seeing
was
it again.
Strong Bad?
I don't even remember. I have no idea. I need to like look this up again because that was like you just made me really search the caverns of my mind. Like so what I did was I was like, this was a movie or like a YouTube video that you watch kind of like with people like, oh my God, watch this video with me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what were other videos I was watching? And I have like such a distinct
Homestar
memory. Homestar Runner. That's what it was. Oh my God. I have such a distinct memory of watching all of that at Max Schenker's house. And we just like would do that for so long.
That's a great answer. I don't know that I can top that. I think other internet properties that'd be ripe for franchisation being franchised. Neopets. Wasn't a series.
Oh,
but I'm surprised no one
that's
has
a great one.
Yeah. I think they have some recent announcements.
In the same vein, how is like Rebecca Black not come out with
I think she still puts out music.
Oh, see, I'm ignorant then. She didn't make a big enough deal about it. I feel like she could have got some hype from it.
I think she's got like a decent following now. She's sort of like, yeah.
She's trying to make her own. I mean, she had a moment where everyone in the world knew her name.
This is as of July 18th, 2023. Neopets announces change of management and relaunch of the main site, plus a mobile app and more plot.
Oh, you literally just took the words out of my mouth. I feel like I said if Neopets had an app, I think people would really get back into Neopets.
Mm-hmm. Were you big on that's Neopets? Crazy.
Yeah, I loved a good Neopet. You know me, Pokemon, Neopets, Digimon. I got to collect them all.
I probably spent countless hours playing Mirka Chase.
I know exactly game. What you Mine was like the Bejeweled one. I loved that fucking Bejeweled game they had. That's so funny. You know what you have me feel like we're doing right now?
What?
You and I are doing like the cartoon version of like Tosh.0. We're like looking for like old internet like celebrities. We're like, we're going to give you one last chance.
Tosh.0. Oh, God. Yeah, that was our closing thoughts. This is a great movie.
We're not going to do any news.
Oh, I have a little bit of news we could talk about.
Edit that out then. Forget I said anything. Go ahead with your news.
Let me, a federal court judge, let me remind our listeners, in light of the ongoing WGA and SAG strikes, we're not covering big studio news or properties while those are both ongoing. While they're still negotiating. But I did see that a federal court judge ruled that AI-generated artwork, maybe content, cannot be copyrighted.
That's big.
Which probably throws a huge wrench in any major streamer or studio's plans to use AI-generated that's scripts. Big. Yeah.
Because as soon as it's not copyrighted, they're going to lose their mind.
Yeah, because then you can do whatever you want. Especially
Disney loves to copyright their shit.
So, you know, this is one federal judge's ruling. Hopefully it has wider implications. But I think part of the argument is that human input is sort of a very important piece of copyright.
Yeah.
The strike is still ongoing. 100 plus days now for the WGA at least. WGA contract 2023.org, SAG-AFTRA-Strike.org, entertainment community fund or entertainmentcommunity.org if you want to donate to striking writers and actors. Yeah, anything else for this episode?
No, I think you nailed it. I think that's good news. I was going to do no news because we don't want to just keep boring everyone with the same news of the strike. We want to keep awareness high, but then at the same time, we can't do 5-6 stories of just how awful, terrible, and greedy these corporations really are. So we'll keep it short and brief for our listeners there.
And, you know, we're still flying by the seat of our pants. If you have recs for independent recs, foreign animation, whatever you can think of, send them our way. We're, you know, we're winging it a little bit. Maybe we'll do top 5 Homestar Runner videos or something.
Could you imagine? No, we're not going to do that. I'm just nixing that before it even gets too far. I'm signing us off before you have any other crazy ideas. For more Two Dudes, please check out our other episodes on Apple, Spotify, and on YouTube. Make sure you follow us at Two Dudes Watch Cartoons on Instagram and TikTok. And wherever you're listening, please don't forget to rate and review, leave a like, a comment. Like I said, we're looking for recommendations because we had a schedule. We're actually as disorganized as we sometimes seem. We do have a good schedule of what we're usually going to record when, and we threw it out the window. And so we're along for the ride, baby. We're part of the strike as much as we can be.
That'll do it for this episode of Two Dudes Watch Cartoons. We will catch you next time. Two Dudes Watch Cartoons.